invite you to join with me as I pray. Lord, you reveal in the Holy Scriptures that you have given the keys to the kingdom to your church, the authority to forgive or withhold forgiveness to someone who either is repentant or who refuses to repent. Help me, Lord, to use these keys with wisdom. Forgive me for the times when I failed to use the keys, failed to declare forgiveness, or failed to warn the impenitent. And Lord, give me wisdom to lead people to you so that I can use the loosing key to open the way to heaven, declaring forgiveness in your name and by your authority. I pray this be done by me and all your church. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at the ministry of the keys, that authority and right that we read about in Matthew 16 and 18, in which Jesus gives the authority to forgive or withhold forgiveness, the way to open heaven or bind people to their sin. This is something Jesus, we saw, gave to his whole church, every believer, wherever two or three gather. But it's important to know when to use the key properly. Maybe you can find a time when you found yourself confused over which key to use for unlocking a door, or lost the password for logging onto a computer or website. It's pretty important in our culture to properly manage passwords and keys. How much more important isn't it for Christians to properly use the two keys that we have, and the power to bind or to loose? So we're going to today look at specifically the use of the keys, starting with the locking or binding key. We read about that in Matthew 18, where Jesus explains the binding and locking of the keys. In Matthew 18, Jesus outlines the principle for dealing with someone who refuses to repent. He says, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens, you've won him over." Notice the goal is to bring that person back to peace, peace with you and peace with God. But Jesus says, if he refuses to listen, bring along another person so every matter might be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. Notice the progression of steps. Jesus first wants to give grace to the sinner, to allow them not to lose face or be embarrassed or put to shame, but rather to be reconciled, to have their sin dealt with in a private matter, and for them to be forgiven. And then Jesus doesn't want us just to ignore sin. If a person refuses to repent, he says, bring another person along. And even if then they refuse to listen, assuming they are a Christian and they have a spiritual church home, Jesus says, tell it to the church, that is, the gathering of believers that they belong to. And then, if they refuse to listen to the body of believers, Jesus says, if they refuse to listen to the church, that is, their spiritual leaders and their brothers and sisters in Christ, then he says, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. That is, someone who is an enemy of the church and who's dishonest and who cheats. That doesn't mean that the person is going to be treated with hatred. That doesn't mean that you are going to treat the person badly when you see them on the street or in the workplace. But it does mean that you're no longer going to allow them to call themselves a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ when they continue to refuse to repent. What's the reason for this? We'll read in Galatians 5:21, a warning. The Apostle Paul says, I have warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this, that is, who wake up each morning and are persistent and unrepentant in their sin, those who live like this as idolaters, practicing hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, Paul says, I warn you, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a real warning. Not that you won't earn forgiveness, because that can't be done. No, forgiveness and a place in God's kingdom is an inheritance. It's something you receive by being part of the family of God, being born into that family again through faith. But we disqualify ourselves from the inheritance. We lose out on the great gift and blessings of the gospel if we persistently refuse to repent but go on living in sin with an unrepentant heart. And that's why the binding key is there. It was once used by the Apostle Paul in one of his letters. He tells them to throw the person outside of their fellowship. Don't let him pretend he's okay when he's not spiritually okay. And it appears, as Paul writes a few months later in another letter, that it worked. The man who thought everything was fine as he lived in sin and spat in the face of Christ repented of his sin when he woke up to the dangers of the sin. When the congregation warned him of it, he responded appropriately. And so Paul said, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. I see my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I'm happy, because not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. You became sorrowful as God intended, and we're not harmed. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. And so Paul urged them to affirm their love for the forgiven sinner, like the father throwing his hands across the son that was lost, urging his brother to receive him. God would have us, yes, warn the person who holds to sin and will not repent. But then, that key, that binding key, is only used to lead the person back to Christ, so that when they repent, forgiveness is freely declared, and the gospel, the way to heaven, is clearly declared. And in Christ, who died for every sinner and for every sin, tells us, forgive them, and they will be forgiven. Now, the binding key is not a popular key because, as you can imagine, it's easy for us, given authority, to abuse that authority. And no doubt there are many ways that the church and Christians have abused the binding key. But when used correctly and in love, with the goal of bringing someone to repentance, the binding key leads to godly sorrow and leads to rejoicing in forgiveness. Using the loosing key is not a popular thing, because most people just like to look the other way when they see sin. But how is that loving the sinner? And how is that recognizing the awesome privilege and right that God gave His church to use the keys to bring people back to Christ? The way to heaven is shut for those who refuse to repent, but the way to heaven is open freely in the name of Jesus. Join with me and all Christians as we use the keys to the kingdom of heaven, withholding forgiveness from those who refuse to repent in order that they might repent, and in love to bring them back to Christ so that we might use the key to loosen, to forgive, and declare the wonders of what God has done. I'm Tom Barthel, pastor of Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. God's richest blessings are yours in Jesus.